from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we start with that conversation with Elon Musk last night on X, formerly known as Twitter. Elon Musk owns X, and the conversation lasted around 2 hours' time. As you reported, Paul delayed a little over 30 minutes. But once they got on, a lot of conversation about this area. They spent 20 minutes talking about the day of the assassination attempt, July 13th, and also the big news for a lot of people is Donald Trump says, I'm coming back to Butler.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's got also another rally in Pennsylvania. That's going to be Saturday up at the Mohegan Sun in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area. Now, from what we're reading here on X, they're saying that over a 3-hour period last night, the president's post received 73 million views. I assume that's a post that Donald Trump made on his own. And then during the same period, there were 4 million posts about Musk and Trump's conversation. And those 4 million posts generated almost 1 billion views. Wow.
Well, there is a great interest in this election around the world. So it's not just here in the United States where we know the population is basically split down the middle for the most part, right? But around the world, there's just great interest in what's going on in America.
It would be nice to see the other candidates interviewed at length like this and to talk at length about their plans. You know,
yeah, Robert Kennedy Jr. is having a hard time getting on the ballot in Pennsylvania as it is.
Yeah, he's not going to be on the ballot in New York. We learned that this morning.
Right.
The judge in that case says he's not a resident, so he can't be on the ballot, I guess.
Meantime, so the takeaway again,
which wouldn't prevent people from writing him in if that's what they want to do.
And the fact is, we don't know the exact details. The commissioners in Butler have received no official word on Donald Trump's return or a date. It is possible that other officials in law enforcement or in party leadership may have been notified, but the commissioners say they have not. And Donald Trump says it's all set. So it's all set, perhaps, with his team.
Yeah. Yep.
Meanwhile, the passing of Judge Jeffrey Manning at age 77, Allegheny County judge who retired just a few years ago, apparently had quite an impact in the legal community here. And last night, Rob Pratt had a chance to talk to former Governor Tom Corbett.
I've known Jeffrey since I first went into the DA's office in 1976. We became friends almost instantaneously. He moved down the street, as we call it, to the U.S. Attorney's office as an assistant. We remained friends, and then finally I moved down there, and we continued to be friends until I left to go into private practice. We continue to be mean. Once you're Jeffrey's friend, you're always Jeffrey's friend.
Also, some very kind and generous comments made by Phil DeLucenti in an interview with our Tamira Rush when we got the news yesterday.
Yeah, it was, for a lot of people, he had a tremendous impact in the legal community.
I recognized the name immediately because it was associated with so many big cases in the time that I've been here.
And a lot of people will be also talking about the Pirates.
This unfortunate, maybe.
3-1, and the pitch. Swing, fly ball, tailing away from Merrill in center. He'll dive and make the catch to end the game. A headlong dive in right center. Merrill, the player of the week, is certainly the player of the day for the Padres. He just won him the game.
Yeah, 2-1 was the final, and that diving catch robbed Brian Reynolds of a double that would have tied the game. So that's how it went in San Diego last night.
Yeah, and you had a stat on the games in terms of one-run losses in this free fall.
They've
now
had 7 of them.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'll say ouch.
You know, we went from 2 weeks ago being on the verge of being in the conversation for playoffs. Now they're talking about they would have to do something really dramatic to get back to that, like get on a big winning streak.
Well, I think that the conversation has changed entirely now. I'm reading a former sports writer's post. Bob Smyzik commented. He said, you got to wonder if the manager and the general manager are going to be around much longer.
Well,
it's been 5 years, you know. They've had their 5 years, and look what's going on.
Former Pirate closer Jason Grilley's going to join us. How do you stop the bleeding? He'll join us right after the news at 8:30, and that's what people are talking about in the Berg on the Big K Morning Show. Our next hour at 7:35, we're going to announce our Lifetime Achievement Awardee for our Hometown Heroes event coming October 8th. In October for the 12th year, and this will be at the Lamont this year, as we recognize 5 of our hometown heroes and a very special individual. And Paul, this is going to be somebody everybody in the audience knows.
And we're making the announcement today.
7:35.
Okay. Lifetime Achievement.
Lifetime Achievement. To join some of the others that we've had over the years, including Smokey Robinson, Dr. Stanley Marks, who's a treasure in this region, head of oncology, UPMC, done amazing research. You had Dr. Jim Withers, who created street medicine and has traveled. It's what he's done here has been utilized around the world. And then we've had Jack Bogut, our former morning man here in broadcasting. We've had Craig Patrick, Hockey Hall of Famer, saved hockey here and so much. So there's a great combination of people, and I think people are going to be really happy. They're going to go, oh, yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, by the way,
well, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know.
I purposefully... Now, I'm going to send you the rundown, but don't look.
Okay.
So that I want you to be surprised.
Oh, so it will be there on the rundown.
It's on the rundown.
Okay. So I don't need to look at that yet.
Don't look.
All right.
You got a little over an hour at 7:35. I've invited someone to help me introduce this. So when you hear who, it'll be a big clue.
Okay.
And by the way, you can go to kdkradio.com, check out our Hometown Heroes nomination form. If you know somebody who's doing extraordinary things in our community, we want to know about it. It's one of the most uplifting evenings that we have and can present, and really proud of the work we're doing there. Coming up, you have a chance to get reaction to the passing of Jeffrey Manning. We're going to talk to a former judge, Cheryl Allen, and her reflections of Judge Manning. This is the Big K Morning Show. Thank you for choosing us. I'm Larry Richard, along with Paul Rasmussen at our anchor desk. The passing of Jeffrey A. Manning, a veteran Allegheny County judge at the age of 77, very high-profile judge and esteemed local man who went to Gateway High School. And we are joined by Cheryl Allen, who is a retired Pennsylvania Supreme Court judge. Judge, welcome back to KDKA.
Good morning.
I would imagine that the judge...
And I am, first of all, I'm a retired Superior Court judge, but thank you.
Pardon me?
I said I'm a retired Superior Court judge.
Oh, what, I said Supreme, didn't I?
Yes. Okay, but that's okay. Thanks for the
Well, you're
promotion.
Supreme in my view. My apologies. Judge, this is a tight community. Many of the judges at many levels obviously interact over a period of years. So what can you share with us about Judge Manning?
Well, I can tell you that I met Judge Manning for the first time when I was seeking, we were both seeking a seat on the Court of Common Pleas, and he was elected to the court in 1989. Actually, he was appointed to the court in 1988 and elected in 1989. I was appointed to the court in 1990 and elected in 1991. And I served initially in the criminal division, court division with him. And I came to know him over the years. You know, he was a very colorful person, very hardworking, and also very brilliant. He had a brilliant legal mind. And I can honestly say that there were those times when we didn't see eye to eye on things, but we were always able to sit and talk about things. And I had a tremendous amount of respect for him because when I was subsequently assigned to juvenile court, and we were shorthanded, he was one of the few judges that was willing to step up to the plate and come and help share the caseload in juvenile court. He volunteered to do that. And, you know, you always respected his legal mind because he did seek to be fair and he tried to do the right thing. And as I said before, you know, he was a person that I could sit and talk to and sometimes did sit and talk to him, even about those things or decisions that were made that I didn't agree with. We were able to actually talk. So I had a tremendous amount of respect for Jeffrey. And I just pray for his family, and I pray that, you know, they will have the peace and in the knowledge that he was a great judge.
Judge Allen, this is Paul Rasmussen. I'd like to know what separated him in your view as a great jurist.
Well, because he had a great legal mind, but he was also opening to listening. And you know, what makes a judge a great judge, I think, is the ability to first and foremost study the law, because no one has all of the answers, and to be willing to be open to listening to people and to considering all points of view. And that's what I thought was good about Jeffrey. You know, the fact that, and he had a tremendous amount of compassion. People didn't, may not have always seen him that way, but I know that when he was willing to come, we had lost a judge in juvenile court, and back in those days, there were only 2.5 judges assigned to juvenile court, so to lose one was very problematic. But Jeffrey was willing to step up to the plate to come to juvenile court to hear those cases. And, you know, it's not that the cases are difficult, but the family situations are difficult. And when you're, you know, dealing with young people, it's a whole different ballgame. It takes a person with a tremendous amount of compassion and also insight. And so I believe that he had the necessary insight and as well as compassion, but also he was very tough. He had the ability to be very stern and tough, but compassionate with insight at the same time.
Well, he certainly left his mark on this community. One of the things I hear you say, which is encouraging to me, is even when you disagree, you can have a civil conversation. I think we need that to take place in our current political scheme. And Appreciate you taking time for us this morning, Judge. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Judge Cheryl Lynn Allen, retired Pennsylvania Superior Court judge on the Big K Morning Show. You're hearing a lot about back to school. We have an opportunity for you to help support Pittsburgh Public School students by providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive presented by Frank Walker Law. And you can visit kdkradio.com. We're teaming up with our brother station 93.7 The Fan and also WAMO, WAMO 107.3. Sport an individual, get a group together, and help us stuff those backpacks for the kids. I mean, it's coming.
Yeah, it's so quickly happening right now. We've got a story about that coming up at 7 from Tamira Rush. And I did not realize this until this morning. Only three districts in western Pennsylvania start classes after Labor Day. I mean, where I grew up, it was always after Labor Day.
Yeah, I remember it being after Labor Day, but I'm not 100% sure it was so long ago. Also brought to you by MediConnect. This is, I joked to the kids, I got to North Allegheny High School just after they got electricity. Actually, back to school, though, it's interesting because it's high anxiety time for some kids and parents. And on one hand, a lot of moms and dads who've been dealing with the kids all summer are like happy to get back to a routine where the kids will have a routine, you know. I wonder, you know, when we were little, you just went out and played. Everybody sent their kids out in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and everybody's parents watched over us. I mean, if we were at the Gillespie's house, then Amy Gillespie would keep an eye on my sister and I while we were playing with her three boys.
And
the same thing would happen if they were over at our place.
Nowadays, there's, you know, play dates and schedules for everything. It seems to me pretty rare that kids just go out and play.
We just hopped in our little go-karts or our bikes and took off together and went and did stuff.
Well, let's be honest. You know, like on a Saturday, even when school was back, my dad worked in a car business, so he would work Saturdays. And so is my mom, with no car for a long period of time. And four boys.
Jim would get you out of the house.
You know, separated by about 3 years. My sister came along later. And I remember by the time we were at the breakfast table eating Captain Crunch, it was basically get out of here and don't come back till you hear your dad whistle. So when my dad would come home from work, he had that, you know, on the porch. And then you knew, I got to go.
My summer memories are of being able to ride my bike a few blocks to the swimming pool, where we would do that, or we could walk a block or two down to where we went to school, and they had a ball field down there. We could play baseball. And then when we got older, you know, we were in our early teens, we could ride our 10 speeds over to the mall. They had a nice theater at the mall. We could go to the movies.
We had one family in the neighborhood that had air conditioning. They were very popular.
I'll bet they were.
Yes, they were. Last night, a conversation between Elon Musk, who owns X, formerly known as Twitter, and former President Donald Trump. Slightly delayed, but a lot of people did tune in.
Yes, about 1 million people were watching at that particular moment on what they call spaces, that area. But then after that, you have clips and people sharing. So who knows how many impressions were made.
So
I'm sure it's in the numerous millions.
Share how it opened last night on X with Elon Musk and Donald Trump.
All right. Hello, everyone. My apologies for the late start. We unfortunately had a massive distributed denial of service attack against our servers and saturated all of our data lines, like basically hundreds of gigabits of data were saturated. We think we've overcome most of that, and so it's now time to proceed. But as this massive attack illustrates, there's a lot of opposition to people just hearing what President Trump has to say. And I'm honored to have this conversation. I want to emphasize it's a conversation. And it's really intended to just get a feel for what Donald Trump is just like in a conversation. It's hard to catch a vibe about someone if you just don't hear them talk in a normal way. And when there's an adversarial interview, like no one's themselves in an adversarial interview. So this is really aimed at kind of open-minded, independent voters who are just trying to make up their mind. So you can understand like what is it just like to have a conversation. So honored to Donald, great to speak. We had a great conversation yesterday, as you mentioned yesterday. If we could just record that conversation and post it, it would have been excellent. And I hope we can have something like that today.
Well, I think we will. I'm pretty sure we will. And congratulations, because I see you broke every record in the book with so many millions of people. And that's an honor. We view that as an honor. And then you do want silencing of certain voices. Usually those are voices that have something to say that are constructive, oftentimes constructive. And so we have to consider it an honor. But congratulations on breaking every record in the book tonight. That's great.
So they spoke for about 2 hours. And one of the subjects obviously most interesting to people in particular in this region was in the moment of being faced with gunfire. Elon Musk said this to Donald Trump.
I think a lot of people admire your courage under fire there. Yeah. So
thank you very much. I appreciate it. I didn't think of it. I just wanted to get up and I wanted to stand up. I wanted to let people know, you know, I felt I was good when they were on top of me, covering me, actually very much covering me and very bravely. But I wanted to get up. I said, I want to get up. And they wanted, you know, they have everything there. They have, they wanted stretcher. I didn't like the stretcher. And I knew I was hit in the ear, but I knew I wasn't hit anywhere else. They felt I was hit someplace else because it was such a lot of blood. And they were sure that I was hit someplace else. And they were saying, sir, you were hit in more than the ear. I said, nope, I was hit in the ear. I want to get up. Let me get up. And so I got up. And the crowd didn't know what to think. I mean, this was so many people, and you could see they were confused. They didn't know what to think. And I wanted to let them know I was okay. It was very important for me to let them know that. And they went wild. You've seen the after. They didn't go wild when I got up because they didn't know, was I alive? You really couldn't tell. When I stood up before the hand, before the, you know, the fist in the air, they didn't know if I was alive. Nobody did. And when I put the fist up, they were just relieved and happy and thrilled. And the place went crazy. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. It was a terrible thing, but it was incredibly
moving. Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of the sort of slide that got you to turn that saved your life, really, was the illegal immigration slide. Maybe this is worth talking about that.
It was
that slide saved your life.
The illegal immigration saved my life. You're right, but it was, I had to be at that exact angle.
I mean, that's a great one. saved by illegal immigration.
You know, the incredible thing, though, when you talk about the odds, you had to be exactly at that angle, but the incredible thing is that the chart, I used it less than 20% of the time. It was just a moment.
Yeah.
It's always on my left, never my right. And it's always at the end of the speech. So here we have it. It's on the right, not the left. It's at the beginning, not the end. And even the people that put it up, they were unprepared. And they did a great job. They got it up immediately, fortunately. But I looked to the right and the bullet came whizzing by, hitting my ear. So it was amazing. But when you think of the odds of that and, you know, that normally you wouldn't use it. Normally I wouldn't have the thing. And then, you know, it would have been a very different story. It's very much, I say, an act of God. It's a miracle that it happened. And I'm honored by it. I'm honored by it.
What were you?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About to say about illegal immigration before you were rudely interrupted.
Well, I was going to say how good the numbers were. By the way, we're going back to Butler. And we're going to go back in October. We're all set up and the people are fantastic in Butler. It's a great area. Great. These are incredible people. Like the three that, in the case of Corey Kilden and the other two, the families are, I got to know them a little bit, and the families are great. But we're going back to Butler, and I think I'll probably start by saying, as I was saying.
Donald Trump in a conversation with Elon Musk. Again, that conversation went on for about 2 hours, and you can hear it in its entirety, if you wish, certainly. And I thought the part about him saying, I'm coming back to Butler, would resonate certainly with people here.
Yeah. My other big takeaway from this conversation was Musk describing himself as a moderate Democrat, but a man who supports Donald Trump in this particular election.
And I think you've seen what Elon Musk, if you were wondering a couple of years ago why he would spend $44 billion to buy Twitter, I think he likes having a platform of his own where he has a voice.
And if to that point, Larry, we have two examples now of journalists that are no longer with the network that they used to be with. Catherine Herridge of CBS is now on her own and reporting on X and doing very well. Tucker Carlson, who used to be with Fox, is generating tens of millions of views to his interviews and commentaries that are posted on X. What Elon Musk did with the former president last night is just to reiterate and double down on the power of this medium. It's flipping the media conversation.
And by the way, the commissioners in Butler put out a statement. They have no official word on the return of Donald Trump or the date. It's possible that other officials in law enforcement or in party leadership may have been notified. But Donald Trump said he's all set. So perhaps his team is all set with a date. And as soon as we hear, we obviously will let you know. Instant access, just a click away. You can email us anytime at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. And we get your comments, thoughts, whatever you're thinking about. That's instantaccess@kdkradio.com. Meanwhile, back to what's going on the campaign trail. CBS's Robert Costa.
CBS News that he is now seeking to counter the momentum of Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign, which has been drawing packed crowds across the country. Trump has been falsely accusing Harris of cheating by claiming large crowds that he says didn't exist. According to the Harris campaign, an audience of more than 15,000 turned out for a rally last week in Michigan. All this comes as Harris works to hold together President Biden's coalition And in an interview with CBS Sunday Morning, President Biden voiced his support.
Will we see you out on the campaign trail for Vice President Harris?
Yes, you will.
Harris is also rolling out one of the first policy proposals of her campaign.
We will continue our fight for working families of America, including to raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
The elimination of taxes on tips echoes a similar effort raised by Donald Trump earlier this year.
We are going to not charge taxes on tips.
He is calling Harris a copycat. Meanwhile, Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, is touting his version of a family-oriented tax policy as he keeps facing questions over past comments about childless Americans.
I'd love to see a child tax credit that's $5,000 per child, but you, of course, have to work with Congress to see how possible and viable that is.
Robert Costa, CBS News, Washington.
And, of course, Robert Costa had the first sit-down interview with Jill Biden after he had announced several weeks ago on a Sunday that he was no longer going to be in the race. That said, back and forth and getting ready for the Democratic National Convention, which is coming up. And they'll have their 4 days to, like the Republican National Convention, to put their platform out. And after that, you get a couple of weeks till Labor Day or a week till Labor Day. You believe that? We're halfway through the month of August already, Paul?
Stand by, Larry.
On a different subject, but I think it's important, millions of student borrowers, because this does play into what's going on in the federal government. So Joe Biden wanted to forgive college loan debts for millions of young people, and then the courts have thrown that out again. It's in a stay situation. So the student borrowers are getting temporary relief again. So during COVID, they put a moratorium on payments for a while, so interest wouldn't accrue, payments weren't due, and this lasted a couple of years, right?
Right.
Now, they had what they call the SAVE program, S-A-V-E, an acronym, and there's a pause. So their payments and any interest are effectively paused, at least while a court fights between the states suing to stop the program and Biden's administration that wants loan relief to move forward. So depending on your circumstance, if you owe college debt, you may want to check and see, you should have been notified that there's a temporary forbearance while they sort this out in the court. And, you know, you and I have long since paid our college debts, but a lot of people on the sidelines here kind of waiting to see what will happen next. And the U.S. Department of Education placed those loans in forbearance because the decision returned this month and last month. At the United States Court of Appeals, the Eighth Circuit in St. Louis, they involved litigation brought by Republican-led states seeking to invalidate Biden's overall student debt forgiveness plans. But this is on the heels of kids going back to school, too.
Right.
And if you owe money, you get a temporary relief, but it's only temporary.
We are just minutes away from something big.
Big. We have the Hometown Heroes event coming up in October, which seemed like a long way off. Suddenly, it's not. Ticket sales are going to go on, by the way, at the end of next week, too. Actually, on the 26th. And we are going to announce here in the next few minutes our Lifetime Achievement Awardee. And I think when everybody hears the name, you're going to go, well, that makes perfect sense. And that's coming up right after the news with Paul Rasmussen at the bottom of this half hour. Choosing us, I'm Larry Richard, along with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. And we welcome Pirates broadcast legend Lanny Fritteri, who's the voice of the Pony League World Series, which is in the midst of happening right now in Washington County. Lanny, good morning.
Larry, good morning, and to you, Paul, and thank you for inviting me to be on the show, Larry. Thank you.
Before we announce our Lifetime Achievement Awardee, how's the series going? In terms of weather, you couldn't have had a better setup.
Oh, yeah. Spectacular days. the fan response has been outstanding and inspirational play by these 13 and 14-year-olds. We've got Chinese Taipei against Palmview, Texas at 10 o'clock this morning. The winner of that game will play Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. And, of course, the players from Puerto Rico are keeping tabs on Ernesto, the tropical storm that is supposed to hit Puerto Rico. And at 12:30 today, the Bronx will play Washington County. The winner of that game will play Tijuana, Mexico at 7:30 tonight. The championship game is at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Boy, I'm so happy for everybody involved that Mother Nature's cooperated after a really hot summer. This is, as you said, spectacular. So good for everybody involved, especially you. I know how passionate you are about this Pony League World Series.
I am indeed. You know, Larry, because we've been friends a long time. I love announcing baseball, and the basis of the game is certainly embraced by the Pony League World Series. We're so blessed to have so many dedicated men and women that put in hard hours to make sure that this is a first-class event in Washington County.
Lanny, I've caught a few innings over the weekend. I think it was on Saturday. It was great fun listening to you call the ball game.
Well, thank you. I have fun doing it. I can be kind of frivolous at times on a broadcast, depending on the nature of the game. But it is so rewarding for me. You know, I wanted to be a baseball announcer when I was 12 years old. That was my goal. That was my dream. And here at age 76, I'm still doing it. That's wonderful for me. And thanks for that, Paul.
We're with Lanny Fritteri, and we have an announcement because for the 12th year, we recognize our hometown heroes. Now, we choose five that are nominated by our listeners, and these are folks doing some extraordinary things in our community who aren't looking for anything for themselves, and we've met some amazing people. And we also recognize the Lifetime Achievement Awardee each and every year. And in the past, we've had Dr. Stanley Marks, the head of oncology and great cancer research here in the Pittsburgh area. We've had Smokey Robinson, whose music contributions have also helped heal people in his charities. Jack Bogut, former host of this show, had sat in this air chair for 15 years before John Cigna. And we've had Dr. Jim Withers, who created street medicine. And we were thinking about who would be appropriate for this year. And this was a unanimous decision once this name came up. And see if you can recognize him.
I never felt like manager and fans in Pittsburgh. It felt more like manager and friends. I know we made you happy, and I know we broke your heart, but I always felt that we were in it together.
Thank you, Jim Leland, former manager of your Pittsburgh Pirates, who's having a summer, right, Lanny?
Yeah, yes, he has. His number was retired in Detroit, plus the induction into Cooperstown Hall of Fame. Got a chance to throw out the first pitch opening day. Later this month is going to be inducted into the Pirates Hall of Fame. His son Patrick's getting married in October. His 80th birthday is in December. Yeah, that's quite a year.
Well, thanks to you, Lanny, because when I reached out, because I know how close you are with Skipper, and I asked for his contact information either way, and you said sure. And when I called Jim, I told him why I was calling. He seemed, you know, he's just so laid back. I love it. First thing I said to him was, Jim, you're having quite a summer. He goes, oh, I don't know, you know. And I said, yeah, you are. It's absolutely appropriate. And we could not be more thrilled to have Jim and his wife, Katie, join us. And would love for you to join us. That's Tuesday, October 8th at the Lamont, where we're going to celebrate Jim Leland and our hometown heroes. I'd love for you to do his introduction if you're available.
I will. I am honored that you're asking me. I certainly will be there for that. I may even wear a clean shirt that day.
Well, we'll let you get back. We caught you at a very busy time with the Pony League World Series. Sounds like it's going great, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you so much, Lanny.
right, Larry, thank you. Paul, thank you to you, both of you. Have a great day.
Lanny Fritteri, Pirates broadcast legend, still doing what he loves.
He is one busy individual with a lot of baseball to call, not just a game here and a game there. They're back-to-back. They really roll.
And it's fun to hear him do it because you know how passionate he is and how passionate he is about Jim Leland. And we couldn't be more thrilled. So that's going to be Tuesday, October 8th at the Lamont. Tickets are going to go on sale on the 26th of this month. And we're going to announce some other people who are going to join us, some past awardees.
Plus, there's going to be five people there who you don't know well. Like, we all know the names Lanny Fritteri and Jim Leland. But now we have, you know, these year's inductees as people to get to know and find out what makes them special and why they're being celebrated.
I've met some amazing people in the past decade plus, including somebody like Dr. Terry Sweeker-Reed, who runs a nonprofit school that helps kids graduate high school, in some cases the first one in their family to do so, and keeps them going, finding placement for jobs or military service or higher education. That's just one example. And now think about it. We've had 55 of those people who have an impact in our community every day of the week. And if you want to nominate somebody, just go to kdkradio.com and search for our Larry's Heroes page, and we'd love to hear from you. So we're thrilled. Jim Leland, Lifetime Achievement Awardee. Congratulations, Skipper. Still to come in our next hour. By the way, 10 to 2, guess who's back from his summer hiatus?
Horse riding.
Marty Griffin. They're now calling Cowboy Marty. Apparently, Marty was horseback riding.
Cowboy Marty.
Yeah. I got the perfect music for him here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite. This will be Marty's new theme song. Yeah, get Marty! you know what? Marty has been very, very quiet the past week, which means he's been on social media silence to some degree,
mm-hmm.
which is very un-Marty-like.
So, well, he's probably having a good time.
Yeah, we'll look forward to catching up with Marty and see how his summer vacation went. And I'm sure he'll have a lot of pent-up energy and a lot to say about what's going on in and around town. There's been no shortage of big news here, certainly in the last few weeks. In the meantime, coming up at 8:30, we're going to talk to former Pirates closer Jason Grilley, who played here, stayed here, and he's got something special going on this Friday. But obviously, we'll want to ask him, when you're in a situation where your team is in a free fall, and you've been so close, too. The Pirates have lost 8 in a row, and you pointed out 10 of the last 11, 7 of those games were one-run losses. That's what's even more difficult to take, because in some of those cases, they had the games.
At the end of the game as well.
Right.
Repeatedly.
So I'll be curious to hear what somebody like Jason Grilley has to say. And even Paul Skeens showed signs of being human last week.
Yeah.
So how do they stop the skid as they get ready to take on San Diego tonight, and then tomorrow afternoon, we've got that game for you, and then they get a day off to think about it before they come home.
The Mariners.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good team.
Well, it seems like every team we play is pretty good.
Well, I mean, the schedule turned really competitive there.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen. Some Health Watch news I thought I'd share, especially for men. This just came out late yesterday. Cancer cases and deaths among men are expected to surge globally by 2050. This study, the American Cancer Society researchers projected 84% increase in cancer cases for men and a 93% increase in cancer deaths among men worldwide between now and 2050. So the increases were greater among men 65 and older, and in countries and territories with a lower medium human development index. So the natural question is, these numbers are going the opposite direction than everybody's worked so hard to fight against. And listen to this conversation. CBS moments ago, Dr. John LaPook, who is CBS's medical correspondent, and Nate Burleson, one of the hosts of the CBS Morning Show.
I would just say a lot of that increase is because of the increase in population that's expected. You know, there's about 8 billion people, a little more, in the United States. Okay. In the world now, it's going to be about 10 billion. All right, so just by the fact that there are more people, aging population, there are going to be more deaths. In terms of calculating the risk, like what are the odds of you getting it, it's trickier. They try to project based on things that they have now, statistics and the environment and all that and trends, but it's tougher.
So why did this report focus only on men?
Well, it turns out a 2020 study showed that around the world, the death rate from cancer in men is about 43% higher than in women. Why?
What gives?
Right. You know, they're trying to figure that out. But, you know, there are certain risk factors. For one thing, men around the world, tobacco, by far the biggest risk factor. Okay. About a third of men around the world smoke.
That makes sense.
The United States, about 13% versus 10%. But around the world, it's about 30% versus 6.5%. And then alcohol and some other risk factors.
So those are some of the reasons why higher rates for certain cancers are higher among
them. Yeah, you know, risk factors. And then again, there are things that we're still learning.
Okay, so we're talking by 2050. That's approximately 26 years from now. That there's going to be a almost double amount of deaths.
Yeah, there'll probably be an extra, if you do the extrapolation, about 5 million deaths per year in men more than now.
What are the most common cancers?
Well, the most common cancers in both men and women are lung cancer first, and then in men you have prostate cancer, colon cancer. In women it's lung and then breast and colon cancer. You combine them and then colon cancer gets up to number two in terms of cancer deaths.
Yeah, you constantly talk about how important it is to get your prostate exam.
And colonoscopy.
Of course.
And skin exam and all that.
So what are some ways that men can reduce these cancer risks?
This is
the million-dollar question.
So billion-dollar, trillion-dollar question.
So, you're right.
For obviously, tobacco, for sure. That's the biggest risk factor. It accounts for 30% of the cancer deaths in the United States and 20% of the cases. Okay. And after that, we've talked about this before, you know, trying to have a healthy diet and a healthy weight and exercise and don't have too much alcohol, all these things that can be really tough to do.
Red meat, processed foods.
Right. Lean towards plants, legumes. But I want to make a point here that I have not made before that I was thinking about. We're threading the needle between, you know, empowering people. We want to know there are things you can do.
Right.
In terms of 40% of the cancers are related to lifestyle, things you can do.
Yeah.
But that means a lot are related to things that you can't do. We want you to do all the screening type tests. I don't want people to feel guilty. There are about 2 million people a year in 2024 are predicted to have cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not done with the year yet. So I don't want people out there who have cancer to say, oh, it was something I did.
Right.
I think that's really important.
But you can create some discipline in your life and reduce those rates.
That is Dr. John LaPook in a conversation moments ago. Yeah, that's a disturbing, especially obviously for us as men. The key, though, the takeaway is make sure you get regular checkups and screenings. And I got to credit Marty because Marty kind of guilted me into, you know, an annual exam. You know, you get to a certain age, you should be doing that anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go through, not to put you on the spot, but I'm sure you see a physician regularly.
Oh, yes, I'll be seeing my doctor next week, in fact. One of 3 or 4 annual visits. I get an annual exam, a physical, and then every so often I return to the endoscopy center when they want to take a look inside the tummy, see what's going on there, an endoscopy, sometimes a colonoscopy. I'm happy to do all of the above and grateful to have the access to it.
There is part of, you know, as a stereotype for men, an avoidance of the doctor, too, as we've also talked about for many people.
That can be true for some men, yeah. You know, I take some comfort, though, from the statistics that LaPook was quoting. You know, it's the growing global population, because that number is going up. That means the number of deaths is going to go up.
Right.
And then if you have the demographic expansion of more people surviving into their 60s and 70s, then you're going to have, again, that increase there as well.
I remember, you remember Dave James from our news team?
I do.
I'm Dave James. He told us once he had a new doctor, and he was getting a digital exam. And in the midst of the exam, the doctor didn't recognize who he was, or but in the conversation he goes, "Oh, you're the guy on the radio. You're the newsman in the midst of his
where
Dave said, "And what was it you were doing that led you to this conclusion?"
Oh, boy.
There you go. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. And it's a great resource, too. Plus, you have that DVR-like technology where you can listen back 24 hours. If you missed important interviews, we got you covered here on the Big K Morning Show. Coming up, we're going to talk to former Pirates closer Jason Grilley right after the news here at 8:30. Marty Griffin is back, and we'll catch up with him in our 9 o'clock hour. Also, weekly visit with Lynn Hayes Freeland. And I would imagine, Paul, all of a sudden, we're halfway through August, and you get that feeling like summer has just flown by.
It sure does feel like it. How soon is it now that we're watching college football?
Oh, yeah.
Just a few days.
Oh, yeah. As you get into, really, for Pitt, it's the end of this month.
Mm.
So you've got 2 weeks until college football kicks off.
Yeah, the ratings are out, too, now, the advanced rankings.
Yeah, what do you got?
How do they pick them? How do they know?
You know, it's really hard now. A lot of people have asked the question, for instance, Pitt only won 3 games last year in football, which is not Pitt-like. You know, 2 seasons before that, they won the ACC championship and were in a major bowl and, you know, down in Atlanta and Sun Bowl before that. So with the changes in college football, how do you know how good a team really is until they start playing?
Well, they're going to kick off on August 24th for the college football season. The AP Advanced Top 25 has it working out this way. Georgia is first, Ohio State second. Then you go down the list to number 8 to get Penn State. So there you go. The ones that were the most interested, and obviously Pitt is not in the top 25 rankings at this time. But that can change. You know, I mean, a good example of what we're talking about here, by the way, I think would be West Virginia. Going into the season last year, the Mountaineers were picked to finish last in football in their conference, and they did very much better than expected. So we really don't know.
You don't know until, you know, as Coach Narduzzi would say for Pitt, until you play.
Right.
You know, that first game. And for Pitt, it's going to be Kent State. So that's, you know, you're always wary of these teams. You never take them for granted. If you do, and we've seen it happen in the past over the years with a bunch of schools, you end up with egg on your face.
And West Virginia's starting off with a really tough opponent. 8th-ranked Penn State on the 31st.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And then Pitt, West Virginia.
On September 14th.
At Acrisure.
Wow. It's going to be a sellout.
You can't buy just that.
They've rearranged the single games ticket sales to exclude that particular game.
Yeah, because there's such a demand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, keep in mind, 2 years ago, when they renewed the rivalry, the backyard brawl, they had 72,000-plus, which is still a record to see a sporting event in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
And there's the same level of interest, regardless of records. So you got Kent State for Pitt, a noon kickoff on the 31st, September 7th, on the road against Cincinnati. Haven't been there in a while. For over a decade. And then West Virginia comes to Acrisure, as you mentioned, a 3:30 kickoff on September 14th. And then Youngstown State. And then, let's see. Oh, you know, one that'll be fun is California comes October 12th.
Oh, really? The Bears?
They expanded, you know, the ACC to include some of those Western teams. And then they're going to go to SMU in Texas. On
Southern Methodist. There was a time when SMU was a powerhouse. And then the program kind of imploded for a while.
College football has changed tremendously in just the last few years. And for those that don't know, it's because of this NIL and transfer portal. So it used to be if you wanted to transfer schools, you had to sit out a season, which made it a much bigger decision for a player. But if a player's not feeling like, hey, I'm not getting on the field, I'm going to go play for whoever, and they're offering me a Mercedes and $1 million or $500,000 to do it, why wouldn't they? Right? In college, someone said, oh, they can't do that. Not only can they do it, they're doing it every single day. So a coach has, instead of the normal attrition you would have with freshmen, you know, through seniors, and then you have maybe a redshirt year. So you have the player for maybe 5 years. It's so hard to keep a player. And then in the offseason, these transfer portals, guys are moving around. And how do you handle the name, image, and likeness money? Who's watching that? Where are the guardrails? It's just like a free, you talk about free agency. That's what it is in college football.
I have a subject change.
What do you got?
We just got a AP news alert here that says struggling Starbucks, which is surprising me to see those two words back to back, right? Struggling Starbucks replaces top executive, names Chipotle CEO Brian Nickel as next leader.
They're struggling?
Okay, that was news to me.
They have like 100 million stores. If they're struggling, it's self-induced.
I've got to do some research on this. I got to find out what's going on there.
This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and we welcome former Pirate closer, number 39, now pitching, Jason Grilley. Jason, good morning. Jason, you got me? Looks like you're on the move.
I got you. You can hear me.
Yeah, you're fading in and out. Don't move.
I don't know what's going on. I'm not moving.
All right, I got you now. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Good morning. Sorry about that. We're going around the mountainsides here up in the North Hills, so sorry about that. My son's driving me, chauffeuring me around so I could jump on here with you.
Oh, your
and
son,
Pittsburgh. Good morning.
You have a chauffeur. That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice when they're 16 here. We're going to one of his appointments, you know. He was on the other day with me at the studio, so he might be coming after your job, dude. He likes all the broadcasts and stuff. I might have to have him be your apprentice.
Yeah, well, you guys, why don't you bring him in sometime?
No doubt. He knows so much about, you know, fantasy league football and all the players and transactions. It's pretty awesome, man, to see how much he's into sports. But, you know, there's a livelihood in it, which you can speak on that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got a big week for you, my friend. On Friday, Grillapalooza out at Discovery Church there in Cranberry. I want to talk about that. But first, what about the Pirates' free fall? As a former player, I know your kind of heart goes out to your team, but what can they do to stop the bleeding? I mean, they lost 10 of the last 11 and 7 of those by one run.
Yeah, it's tough. And this tough part of the season, August is always a heavy month. That's what they call it, dog days. Mentally, it's a struggle because, you know, you start feeling season set. When you're winning, you feel it a lot less. But when you just read it off that stat of, you know, the streak here of bad streak, It plays heavy. You know, I'm sure the clubhouse is a little less lively and quiet. But, you know, hey, what happens? You put together a good win streak. I'll go back to even the hopeful when the Colorado Rockies won. What, they went 20-something games back in 2000. And
Jason, we're gonna call you back on the phone. So give us a minute,
okay,
and we'll do that,
okay,
so that we don't lose you, because it's important. I want to talk about, get your thoughts, and talk about your big event, Grillapalooza. We're with Jason Grilley. We'll be back in 1 minute. It's 8:42. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with former Pirates closer Jason Grilley talking about the Bucks. And let's go back for a minute, Jason, if you don't mind, and kind of reiterate what it's like to be on a team when they're trending down. And what do you got to do to turn it around?
Yeah, sorry about the connection there. I guess technology is great when it works, but so does chemistry and winning streaks. You know, the team's got to just find a way to put some life back into that clubhouse, back in themselves. This is a dog days of the summer month where, you know, losing makes the aches and pains a little bit heavier. But you got to find a way to finish that season out. It's better to know that you exhausted yourself and you got to find a way. I mean, everybody's fighting for jobs still and repositioning. I hate to even use that word rebuild because we've heard that enough in Pittsburgh. We want to win, and I think they got some talent there to do, you know, do what they've done. I mean, they set out and showed that, hey, they were the best team in baseball in the beginning. You know, what's going on in there? I don't know. It's what they got to have some team meetings, some team parties, and you know, enjoy being around each other, because I can tell you, as a former player, that's the thing I miss the most is gelling with the guys in the clubhouse and jamming when it's good times, bad times. But you know, they need to band up and get some winning back in order here. They got a lot of season left for themselves and as a team.
Yeah, I know. You know, 2 weeks ago we were talking about flirting with a playoff spot, and just the bottom is falling out. So hopefully they get it back together. They got a game in San Diego tonight, then tomorrow afternoon a day off Thursday, and are home against Seattle Mariners for a quick three-game homestand at PNC Park for the weekend. Meanwhile, kicking off the weekend on Friday, it's Grillapalooza striking out cystic fibrosis. I know you have spent a lot of time putting this event together, and tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, just a big party in Pittsburgh here. You know, this isn't about me. I just use my name, image, and likeness, and thank you for, you know, helping me be a media darling. People probably, if they've heard me already, sorry, I'm just raising up Lena here, who's got cystic fibrosis and deals with it on a daily basis. It's a rare disease. I think there's about 40,000 people that have to live with that. It's an uncurable thing as of right now. So it draws some awareness and bring some attention.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into it. I just found out Lena and her mom are going to be there at some point, make a stop. So I can't wait to just show how much love Pittsburgh has for her, and we can elevate and celebrate her life and, you know, just raise some money or just having a good time. We got 4 bands coming to play and jam. We got food trucks. We got there's ice cream truck as well.
36 holes of mini golf. I rented out my church, which is an unbelievable facility. As you'll see, it's like Jurgles on steroids. And I got some auction company. And Kenny Reggett's doing the adult sodas, the adult beverages. So coming out, have a drink, enjoy networking and the good people of Pittsburgh. Starts at 5:30, so I'm excited to have everybody out. Kids are invited, so I know summer's coming to an end, and it's a good way to kind of transition into another season of school and the fall season, and football's coming up as well. We're celebrating a lot of things here in Paloozaville, Festville, Pittsburgh. We do a lot of partying and getting together, so this is just one thing that I decided to do. And, you know, Larry, I got to say, by doing this, I've just really experienced the love that Pittsburgh has when they just support one another and people show up. I know you were together with the event that you just put on here recently, the golf outing with Jerome Bettis, and it was unbelievable. So to do it again and just see how we all lock arms in this town, it's a wonderful place. I'm just why I'm so glad to live here.
Grilly Palooza, striking out cystic fibrosis this Friday, starting at 5:30 at Discovery Church in Cranberry. All right, I'll let you get back to monitoring your 16-year-old driver, Jason.
Yeah, man. Well, like I said, if the Pirates were able to come to the party, maybe that would have been the kickstart, too. They're always invited. I know they got a game that day, but if rain out, maybe they'll show up and we'll kickstart and get the season back in order.
All right. Appreciate the time, man. See you Friday.
Hey, we'll see you there. Thanks, Larry.
You got it. Former Pirate closer, Jason Grilly. Last hour, we announced our official Lifetime Achievement Awardee for our Hometown Heroes event coming up on October 8th at the Lamont is former Pirate skipper and now MLB Hall of Famer Jim Leland. So we welcome him and look forward to that evening. And if you know of somebody you'd like to nominate, you can go to kdkradio.com. We will select five of our hometown heroes, and it'll be, I promise you this, a very inspirational night. And again, that's October 8th. That's on a Tuesday at the Lamont, overlooking beautiful Pittsburgh, one of the greatest views a restaurant could possibly have.
That's where I was taken for my interview dinner when I arrived in Pittsburgh. And I couldn't believe the view.
They took me to Arby's, which I especially appreciated the bonus of dessert with a cherry turnover. You got to go to the Lamont?
Yeah. Wasn't that nice?
How many years ago is that?
It's been, it'll be 18 here in December.
They've tightened up the budget since for anybody that. Basically, now you get a snack pack. At this point.
Well, I had lobster ravioli, and it was pretty good, as I recall.
I was just at an event a couple Mondays ago at the Lamont. That view never gets old.
No, you never tire of it. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's day or night. It's all great.
Coming up in our next hour, we're going to catch up with Marty Griffin, who is fresh back from his summer hiatus. And also next, want to share some parts of a conversation that Donald Trump had with ex-owner Elon Musk. You'll hear more about that in the news. A
couple of hours they talked last night.
Yeah, some extended conversation. I want to hear you to hear how it started, because Elon Musk set this up with Donald Trump. And then a little bit more about what was going through Donald's mind when, the shooting started on July 13th. And then the fact that he announced he's coming back here to Butler. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I just saw Marty Griffin enter the building just past the great window here. Our view to the newsroom, Paul.
He's back.
He is back and fired up, ready to go. Patrick O'Connor, his partner for the Get Marty team here, already setting up. So we'll check in with Marty in the next half hour. I'm sure some of the conversation will be about the conversation between Elon Musk, the owner of Twitter, Tesla, and how many other companies, who had a conversation for about, 2 hours with Donald Trump. And it started like this.
All right. Hello, everyone. My apologies for the late start. We unfortunately had a massive distributed denial of service attack against our servers and saturated all of our data lines. Like, basically hundreds of gigabits of data were saturated. We think we've overcome most of that, and so it's now time to proceed. But as this massive attack illustrates, there's a lot of opposition to people just hearing what President Trump has to say. But I'm honored to have this conversation. I want to emphasize it's a conversation, and it's really intended to just get a feel for what Donald Trump is just like in a conversation. It's hard to catch a vibe about someone if you just don't hear them talk in a normal way. And when there's an adversarial interview, like no one's themselves in an adversarial interview. So this is really aimed at kind of open-minded, independent voters who are just trying to make up their mind. So you can understand, like, what is it just like to have a conversation? So, honored to Donald, great to speak. We had a great conversation yesterday, as you mentioned yesterday. If we could just record that conversation and post it, it would have been excellent. And I hope we can have something like that today.
Well, I think we will. I'm pretty sure we will. And congratulations, because I see you broke every record in the book with so many millions of people, and that's an honor. We view that as an honor. And then you do want silencing of certain voices. Usually those are voices that have something to say that are constructive, oftentimes constructive. And yeah. So we have to consider it an honor. But congratulations on breaking every record in the book tonight. That's great.
Well, thank you.
So the conversation, again, went on for about 2 hours, and I thought it would be interesting, especially for the people in this community, to hear about Donald Trump's thoughts when the shots rang out on July 13th. And that's where we pick up the conversation with Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
I think a lot of people admire your courage under fire there. Yeah. So
thank you very much. I appreciate it. I didn't think of it. I just wanted to get up and I wanted to stand up. I wanted to let people know, you know, I felt I was good when they were on top of me, covering me, actually, very much covering me and very bravely. But I wanted to get up. I said, I want to get up. And they wanted, you know, they have everything there. They wanted stretcher. I didn't like the stretcher. And I knew I was hit in the ear, but I knew I wasn't hit anywhere else. They felt I was hit someplace else because it was such a lot of blood. And they were sure that I was hit someplace else. And they were saying, sir, you were hitting more than the ear. I said, nope. I was hit in the ear. I want to get up. Let me get up. And so I got up, and the crowd didn't know what to think. I mean, this was so many people, and you could see they were confused. They didn't know what to think. And I wanted to let them know I was okay. It was very important for me to let them know that. And they went wild. You've seen the after. They didn't go wild when I got up because they didn't know, was I alive? You really couldn't tell. When I stood up, Before the fist in the air, they didn't know if I was alive. Nobody did. And when I put the fist up, they were just relieved and happy and thrilled, and the place went crazy. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. It was a terrible thing, but it was
incredibly moving. Yeah. I mean, speaking of the sort of slide that got you to turn that saved your life, really, was the illegal immigration slide. Maybe this is worth talking about that.
It was
that slide saved your life.
No, the illegal immigration saved my life. You're right, but it was I had to be at that exact angle.
I mean, that's a great one. saved by illegal immigration.
You know the incredible thing, though, when you talk about the odds, you had to be exactly at that angle, but. The incredible thing is that the chart, I used it less than 20% of the time. It was just a moment.
Yeah.
It's always on my left, never my right. And it's always at the end of the speech. So here we have it. It's on the right not the left. It's at the beginning, not the end. And even the people that put it up, they were unprepared, and they did a great job. They got it up immediately, fortunately. But I looked to the right, and the bullet came whizzing by, hitting my ear. So it was amazing. But when you think of the odds of that, and you know that normally you wouldn't use it. Normally I wouldn't have the thing, and then it would have been a very different story. It's very much, I say, an act of God. It's a miracle that it happened, and I'm honored by it. I'm honored by it.
What were you about to say about illegal immigration before you were rudely interrupted?
Well, I was going to say how good the numbers were. By the way, we're going back to Butler, and we're going to go back in October. We're all set up, and the people are fantastic in Butler. It's a great area. Great. These are incredible people. Like the three that, in the case of Corey killed, and the other two, the families are, I got to know them a little bit, and the families are great. But we're going back to Butler, and I think I'll probably start by saying, as I was saying.
Donald Trump, in his conversation with Elon Musk, so one of the takeaways, obviously, for our region is Donald Trump's coming back to Butler. He said they're all set. The commissioners in Butler don't yet know what the plan is, the date and location, but if it's possible, other officials in law enforcement or party leadership have been notified, but the commissioners so far have not. So we don't know exactly what the game plan is, but I imagine Paul will find out soon.
And for his part, Elon Musk identified himself as what he considered to be a moderate Democrat who's supporting Trump for president.
Instant access, just a click away. You can email us anytime at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. We all get your messages in our mailbox. So what do you think people are going to be talking about today? Marty's triumphant return after his horseback session in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear all about that.
I'm curious because he always shares such great stories about his journeys.
Normally, he'll post a picture or two while he's on the road, but not this time around. I don't remember seeing any.
I haven't seen any all week. I know Patrick put out a video about them fixing the police memorial on the North Shore.
Right.
I saw that yesterday on the Get Marty Facebook page. Meanwhile, back to school. That's one subject that a lot of moms and dads right now are dealing with. This is one of those weeks where
it's crunch time.
It is definitely crunch time. So coming up next week, some of the schools are back in session. The teachers go in. I know I think the 20th.
The 20th,
week.
Yeah. As we found out earlier in a report from our Tamira Rush, only three school districts in western Pennsylvania will be starting classes after Labor Day. Just three.
Which means, I don't remember starting that early.
Neither do I.
And they don't have to worry so much these days about snow days anymore. Because you just don't have it, right?
Just a lot of two-hour delays.
Yeah.
Seems to be the predominant thing now.
And I would imagine that as far as going back to school, remember when they had issues with the heat at the end of session?
Yeah.
So there are, I forget the number of Pittsburgh public schools that do not have air conditioning. So maybe they'll have a few of those days. But it's hard technologically for them, to catch up.
Well, if you're in an older building, it's going to be really challenging. You've got to get ductwork in.
And then all those computers, the laptops that went home during, COVID, who knows where they are. When they say, we're just going to have an electronic day, right? How many people are actually able to tap in? Meanwhile, probably the biggest story globally right now is what's going on with Iran and Israel waiting for an attack
at any moment now is what they're saying.
With details, CBS's Jared Hill.
This morning, Iran is rejecting the pleas from the U.S. and Europe not to attack Israel, saying it, quote, lacks political logic, according to Reuters, doing nothing to quiet concerns about rising violence in the region.
Tensions are high in the Middle East as the U.S. says Iran or its proxies could strike Israel as soon as this week with little to no warning. The Pentagon is rushing a guided missile submarine and the USS Lincoln Strike Group to the region in hopes of deterring all-out war after Iran vowed to avenge the recent assassinations of Hamas and Hezbollah leaders.
We are committed to helping Israel defend itself, but at the same time, we continue to work diplomatically to prevent any major escalation of this conflict.
Yesterday, President Biden joined a call with the leaders of the United Kingdom, France, Germany, and Italy, during which the group urged Iran to stand down on its threats of a military attack and discussed serious consequences should an attack occur. Israeli defense leaders say its forces are at peak preparedness for an attack. The country's former prime minister also warning Iran to think twice.
If there is a war between Israel and Iran, it's going to be a war between Iran in the United States of America, and Great Britain, and France, and maybe other European countries, and Israel.
The U.S. and its allies are also continuing to push for a ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas as Israeli forces continue operations in southern Gaza. So far, only Israel has committed to sending a delegation with negotiations set to resume Thursday, though an attack from Iran could disrupt those talks.
Yesterday, the Pentagon said that a number of U.S. service members suffered minor injuries from a one-way drone strike in Syria on Friday. We have been seeing Iran-backed groups escalating their attacks on American troops in the region since war broke out between Israel and Hamas last October.
CBS is Jared Hill.
And I have something more to add on Hamas. They walked away from the ceasefire talks on Sunday and announced they will be not attending Thursday's final round of negotiations. And this is all over the killing of their political leader, Hanaya. So the French, the German, and the British are releasing statements urging them to return. And as he mentioned in the report, Jared's report mentioned that the U.S. has sent a guided missile submarine and a carrier strike group into that general direction. So things are not looking good.
Every Tuesday at this time, we check in with Lynn Hayes Friedland. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. I had so many things. I felt like I was like trying to jump in from the Starbucks story to going back to school. And I absolutely want to have a chat with you about political advertising, which is through the roof.
Yeah, and especially here in Pennsylvania, as you know, Lynn, we have been inundated. In fact, more money is being spent in this state, as I understand it, on the presidential election than any other state, because it's a key, obviously, for both sides to try to win the election is to win Pennsylvania. And we understand, you know, depending on which poll you read, it's pretty much split down the middle, as we've seen in the past. Kamala Harris shows up in some, Trump and others. So that's where we are right now.
Exactly. And one of my pet peeves has been for years, Larry, that there is no truth in advertising connected to political ads. So they can say anything they want in those ads. It doesn't have to be true. And for many voters, that's how they form opinions about candidates, based on these commercials. So now we're spending millions of dollars on advertising that may or may not be accurate.
Most of it isn't, frankly. I don't think. It's just sweeping inaccuracies and charges. And I think maybe a lot of people, there's so much of it that it doesn't resonate anymore. You just completely, you stop paying any attention to it. You block a lot of it out because it's the same din every day.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you mentioned Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars on political ads.
All right,
it's
we got
ridiculous.
That. Lots
what
of
else
time
can we do with that money?
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on all of these stories and more coming up with Lynn Hayes Friedland next on the Big K Morning Show. Coming up this half hour, we'll say hello to Marty Griffin, get a preview of his show, 10 to 2, get Marty back from vacation. And right now, back to Lynn Hayes Freeland. Lynn, did you check out any of the conversation between Elon Musk on X with Donald Trump?
You know, the only thing I saw, Larry, was the excerpts from it. I left what's known as X now, and it used to be Twitter. I closed my account down, actually, when it made that transition from Twitter to X. So I only saw or heard the excerpts. Kind of interesting. It was very interesting to hear him talk about the whole shooting incident, the assassination attempt, because I also feel like the focus of this, and justifiably so, has been the police and the Secret Service. But we've never really gotten a full report on what was the damage to his ear, what was the, were there stitches? I mean, just details like that we never heard. The other thing that struck me is, and I think for both of the candidates, the former president and the vice president, they need to be asked very direct questions and challenged or fact-checked on their answers. I don't think we've seen that from either candidate.
Well, September 10th is the scheduled debate. There are the potential perhaps for two additional ones, but that's the one, I guess, that is going to happen. And I think a lot of people will be interested to see how Kamala Harris can do against Donald Trump, who we know very well in those situations, particularly in the last debate, which was the downfall of Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think debates are interesting. Certainly the one between the president and the former president was enough to change people's opinions. Generally, I'm not sure that it is. The vice president did not have a good history debating in her last presidential race, but she has grown tremendously since then. So I think we'll see a different person in that debate. But again, I'm going to come back to this fact-checking, because as much as everyone focused on the president's performance in that last debate, you could have spent that much energy talking about the misinformation that the former president was offering.
So what are you hearing in your circles right now about the potential for the Harris-Walls ticket?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting, because what I'm seeing now is young voters. Voters who had initially, because they did not like this contest between this is their words, not mine, two old guys, they were not interested. They weren't going to turn out and vote. Now most of them are invigorated, because we haven't seen a presidential race like this in, 2008 maybe? So I think that there's a lot of enthusiasm, momentum. I think this might also make a case for cutting down on the presidential campaign season, because it seems like it was dragging out forever. This is very condensed. I think when she actually became the potential candidate, there were only like 90 some days left.
And we're going to see the Democratic National Convention. And then after those 4 days, maybe there'll be a little bit of a break until, you know, things will kick in after Labor Day. But there really hasn't been a break. I mean, there's been big news each and every week in the last month.
Yeah, and I think that's exhausting for a lot of us. The other thing is, and I think we've kind of touched on this before, traditionally this season didn't start until after Labor Day.
Right.
So just like you and Paul were talking about back to school, you know, parents with small kids, that's what they're worried about this week, you know, the book bags, the supplies, and all of those things. So even though we feel like we're being inundated with these ads, just wait till after Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. But we were sitting here, we had a guest in studio yesterday, and we have television monitors everywhere. And
sure,
this young guy observed that every commercial in a break was a political ad. And I think to the point is, you just ignore them. I mean, do you really listen to any of them?
You know what? I mean, I do, not because I believe them, but because, you know, I have a television background. I like to see the production values, what they're doing. So I look at those things. But again, I think it's troubling that for some people, that is their That's the way they learn about their candidates. And so if they're constantly being fed misinformation, then they're going into the polls making decisions one way or the other based on misinformation.
And you can add social media to that equation too. Adding, and now they're talking about deep fakes that they're trying to stop. Yeah, you got to really pay attention and be on your
toes. You got to do your homework. Yeah, you got to do your homework. And most of us don't do that.
We don't want to do our homework.
It's too much work.
Yeah. All right, Lynn, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Larry.
Lynn Hayes Breland on the Big K Morning Show. Coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin next. Coming up 10 until 2, Marty Griffin returns from his summer vacation with his family. His wife, Christine, will be stopping in tomorrow morning in her 9 o'clock hour. And while he makes his way to the studio, Patrick O'Connor, part of the Get Marty team, you were out at that police memorial that was really in bad shape. You discovered this, weeks ago?
Yeah, back in May, I was riding bikes with my son along the North Shore and noticed the letters were falling off. Some were missing, and they were really tarnished. It was kind of an ugly sight, and we wanted to do something about that. And if you see the story up right now on the Get Marty pages at kdkradio.com, you can see how it all came together Friday. It all was replaced and fixed.
That's fantastic. Such an important part of that, the landscape over there on the North Shore, especially for the men and women in blue.
It's a beautiful tribute to the men and women who have sacrificed everything to keep our community safe. And, just wanted to make sure that it was restored to what it needed to be. And the folks at Rome Monument and Matthews did a beautiful job doing the restoration on that.
John Diagardi. All right. What did you hear? Did you see any posts from Marty's vacation? He didn't do a lot of picture posting.
No, it was a little radio silent, which is good. He needs to unplug every now and then. You got to reset the brain.
It's got to be really difficult and challenging for him to do that.
Or really busy.
Well, yeah. His wife, Christine, had quite an agenda apparently planned for the family, including, and I think he really loved this, he might tell you otherwise, horseback riding.
Oh, I didn't hear that yet.
Oh, yeah. Yes. In the Rocky Mountains. They were out in Colorado.
Cowboy Marty.
I guess it started as a wedding weekend initially. And then, a dude ranch. I don't know if it was a dude ranch, but I'll be interested to hear. Right now, he is locked in session with our brand manager, PJ Kamanchik. The door's closed, and it seems very intimate.
Maybe they're talking about his Aspen Yellowstone adventure.
Yeah, so Marty's coming up 10 till 2, and then Colin Dunlap this afternoon. We've got Pirates baseball tomorrow from San Diego. In the meantime, Patrick, thank you, and people can check it out, your video.
Yep, on the Get Marty social pages right now and also at kdkradio.com in the Get Marty section.
Thank you, sir.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.